Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Loose Cannons are on the air.
What are we doing? What are you doing?
Steve Hartman.
Hartman's.
Say it again.
Woman of Wednesday.
And Mike Costa.
What is it?
Woman Crush Wednesday.
On Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
The way to compete. That's the way to compete.
Number two, the Loose Cannons on your home of everything San Diego sports, Extra 1360, Fox Sports, San Diego.
Hey-o.
And thanks for Philly Billy last hour, doing a tremendous job, breaking it all down.
I love having him on every Wednesday, but we talked to him a half hour ago.
Yeah.
Maybe the best ever.
Might have been, the way he broke down that Kaepernick situation.
Love the guy.
If you missed it, well, you missed it. That's all I can say.
You totally missed it.
No going back on that one.
Jake from Fox Sports San Diego is leaving right now because I was out front, and he goes, hey, your phone is going off, so it must be Philly Billy calling back.
And?
I haven't. Don't answer it. I haven't seen any.
Dead to us.
He hadn't seen it.
Yeah. So I'll check the message here shortly.
All right, tell him that we'll talk to him
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow, okay.
Yeah, we have a very busy show today. All right.
Okay.
Unless you want to bring him on the power.
Very important. Damn it.
We'll save it for tomorrow.
All right, very good. All right. It's that time.
Mark.
Four at four
is brought to you by Sombrero Mexican Food, serving the freshest San Diego style Mexican food.
That's right. Get in right now. Take advantage of their signature bowl deal. Just $6.99. You get a bowl of chips and a drink. Check them out at SombreroMex.com. We give Brent, you know, we all push wrong buttons here and there. All the time, every single day.
Brent never does.
And so when he screws up in a big way like he just did, I want to just say Brent's a hardworking guy. He's the Angry Badger. He's spinning a lot of plates up on the stage, keeping them going. So
I've been so busy the last month, I'm surprised I haven't done that 8 times already.
He was blinded by Ernie's thinness, what happened there.
Maybe that's what it was.
Or maybe it was that giant Sombrero's burrito I brought him that's camouflaging.
Okay.
Huh?
All right. So did you get the one that is correct?
I don't think he's eaten it yet.
Oh, your palate.
I started to pick at it a little bit. I haven't had enough time to eat
the whole
thing.
You don't see any veggies, no onions, nothing.
There's some couple tomatoes, but that was okay.
What?
I can eat tomatoes. Onions was a big...
Rice, cheese, chicken. Did I not say...
No vegetables.
There's a few tomato pieces buried in the rice, but I can
Boy,
the onions are the killer.
The people at Sombrero's are a bunch of jerks.
No. Wait a second.
3 tomatoes in your burrito?
We love them.
How dare they? Love them. Oh, wait. I endorse Sombrero.
Yes, you do.
Oh my God. Yeah, I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah. They are the absolute best. How about your tacos? Ernie says he hadn't had a fish taco over at Sombrero's in a while. Change your mind?
They have just leveled.
Where you been going?
They're big, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one taco is a meal.
Mm.
Those, by far, are the tastiest.
Those two tacos are more food than you've eaten in the last month.
Hey, how are you not asleep on the floor right now?
He's almost in a coma right now. All right, let's get it started.
Number 4.
Summer nights are hot in Oklahoma. That's my Oklahoma lullaby.
Stoop stops at Oklahoma.
Yeah, this was, this is really big, you know, thunderous news today in the college football ranks. If you don't know, Bob Stoops, head coach at Oklahoma, stepping down after, what, 18 years?
18 years. It's interesting. There are 3 dominant coaches in Oklahoma history. There was Bud Wilkinson, Barry Switzer, and Bob Stoops.
What's interesting to me is Wilkinson did 17 years, Switzer did 17 years, Stoops did 18.
Maybe that
and of
was
course
the plan.
They play more games now, but right. Stoops ends up as the winningest coach in Oklahoma history, won a national title. That was way back in 2000, his second year they won the national title. And then, but he's dominated the Big 12, and they're on a roll right now. I mean, they've been dominant over the last couple of years. So their young offensive coordinator, Lincoln Riley, will take over as the interim head coach.
I'm sorry, but when I think of Oklahoma football, and then when I think of a coach just kind of stepping down like this abruptly.
Right.
When did the sanctions start trickling down?
Really? Is that what you're predicting right now?
Or the violations? And well, Steve, let's say you're 18-year-old Steve Hartman, and you just signed on to play quarterback at Oklahoma because of Bob Stoops. Hey, coach. What were you in my saying in my living room back in the fall to get me to come to Oklahoma? Now you're bailing? Well, please let me out of my. Let me out of my scholarship.
Well, the bottom line is there has been plenty of controversy at Oklahoma. I mean, obviously, we had a running back that was reinstated after knocking out a girl.
Joe Mixon.
That's one problem. Then you have Baker Mayfield in this offseason with his stumbling around.
Right, he got tackled by the cop.
And remember, Baker Mayfield is back. So it's sort of good news, bad news for your interim coach. Again, his name is Lincoln Riley. The bad news is there's baggage that, your outgoing coach went through over this last year. But the good news is you have a senior quarterback that's been a two-time Heisman finalist coming back as your starting quarterback.
So, no, cupboard's not bare. No seniors are going to bolt because Bob Stoops, or juniors are going to bolt because Bob Stoops isn't there. But if you're a freshman.
But do you look at him? Because it's interesting, since he been at Oklahoma in 1999, only one football program, Boise State, has had a higher winning percentage. But we really don't put Stoops in that category with the Sabins or the Urban Meyers.
No, you never hear his name mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time. Well, part of that was he lost so many big bowl games.
Right.
You know, those are the games that really count. But anyway, Bob Stoops, came out of the blue. I'm sure we'll find out more details. But Stoops is out, stepping down, retiring at the University of Oklahoma.
Number three.
I can really shake them down.
Lonzo loves the Lakers, but do they love LeVar?
Ooh.
And speaking of the Lakers, coming up at 4:30, our good buddy Alan Sliwa, host ESPN LA, is going to talk about the Lakers because there was a very big workout today for that basketball team.
There were a couple of things about Lonzo Ball and how he's incredibly different than his father. They estimated in an 8-minute period, he was asked more than 50 questions that he answered in less than 8 minutes.
Wow.
He is a man of few words, Lonzo Ball. He basically gives 4 to 5 word answers, and that is it. So they kept firing more and more questions, unlike his father, that once he opens his mouth, it's like Don King, you know. I guess Lonzo Ball said the things a lot of people say. Well, do you think you're the best player in the draft? He goes, yes, I do.
He said that he is the leader that this team needs.
Now, that's quite a line, too.
He can be that guy.
This team needs a leader. Mm. I'm that guy.
And also said that the team loves his dad, LeVar. Well, Alan Sliwa was at the workout. Was he at the workout or the press conference, Ernie?
He was at the workout. I spoke with him briefly, and he said, if there's one thing to take away from that, he goes, it was a circus.
Okay. So, Alan will join us at 4:30, talk about what it was like there today.
If it was a circus today, imagine what it's going to be like if they actually draft him.
Please, Celtics.
I actually have covered a few Laker drafts. I've been there. In fact, I was there the year they took Julius Randle. And I'll never forget, I did this taped interview, TV interview, with Mitch Kupchak. And I had heard that they had made their second round pick, Jordan Clarkson, except I had never heard of Jordan Clarkson. So I'm taping the interview. So I'm like, talking about Julius Randle. I'm like, so Mitch, let's talk about your second round draft pick. I had no idea. I'm like, so we had to stop the tape, and he's looking at me like, really? And I'm like, what's the guy's name? Jordan Clarkson. All right, let's start this over again.
three, two.
It's going to be a circus. And the guy that was not there today was LeVar Ball.
Hmm.
He will be there on draft day. You think? I promise you he'll be there on draft day.
The one thing I saw in the story was, I guess, Lonzo's having dinner with Jeannie tonight, and his dad will not be there, of course. But all I kept thinking was, like, in an 80s movie where... Is he going to put an earpiece in Lonzo's ear and tell him what to say while he's on his quote-unquote date with Jeannie and be like, no, tell him you're better. Bring up Big Baller. Big Baller.
I guarantee you the two of them will be having dinner and he's going to be walking in. Yeah. Big Baller Brand.
Oh, you guys are here too?
Jeannie. I hear all the time.
You're real skin right now.
I got my own table. I'm just like Jim Lazovic and Donovan's, man. I'm sorry.
Give me some skin, Jeannie. Here.
Okay, I'm going to say this.
Stay in your lane and give me some more bread.
I'm going to say this once, and then I will forever hold my peace.
Mm-hmm.
Am I in a very, very small minority? I just don't get it with Lonzo Ball, and I don't see Uber superstar with him. Is there anybody else out there, Steve?
I will say this, though. Remember this. Markelle Fultz, who's expected to be the first pick, he went to the University of Washington as hyped as Lonzo Ball was. They had a losing record, and Lorenzo Romar lost his job. UCLA was coming off a losing season and skyrocketed with Lonzo Ball on the court.
Okay.
All right. Now, again, he had TJ Leaf, another star freshman, with him.
Yeah.
But whereas one guy could not figure out a way to win, the other guy, Lonzo Ball, turned UCLA from a losing team to a winning team.
I hope
that's what Magic Johnson has seen in Lonzo Ball.
If there is a God, he is speaking to Danny Ainge right now, and they draft Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, to answer your question, I don't see a superstar, but if it's there.
But maybe he's going to be the greatest.
I don't like the way you looked at Costa when you said that, by the way. I don't see a superstar, and you're looking right at Costa. I see a superstar.
Well, no, thank you, Steve.
And I will add, guys like you and everybody else that has seen him play tell me differently. They say he is the goods.
Oh, by the way, did you see this? They did one of those scientific studies on those sports things about his release, and they said that Klay Thompson is considered the shooter with the quickest release in the NBA, and it turned out that Lonzo Ball's release was only 0.03 slower, that even though he has that awkward-looking shot, his actual release is insanely quick. So, you know, you guys can hate on UCLA all you want.
I'm not hating on UCLA. I like the Bruins.
I just, hey, man, for a guy who has a shot with the ball come from across his face, that's great.
All right.
I don't see superstar.
Worked for Sean Marion.
Number two.
Shut up, Brent.
I got some mud on my face.
Are LeMess with LeMay.
LeMay?
LeMess.
He has one bad game, Ernie, and now he don't say his name right?
LeMay?
Okay, no, it's...
What happened to LeMet?
It's actually Padres are LeMess with LeMet.
LeMay.
Let's try that again, Brett. Number two.
Number two.
I got some mud on my face.
Padres are a LeMess with LeMet.
There it is. LeMay.
Dude, you need a carbo load.
You are such a Frenchie,
You
man.
Need a carbo load, bro.
It's Mark Willard. He's in my head.
He is. And that's, man, you do not want him in your head.
That's pretty good there, Ernie Martinez.
Ernie Martinez.
Yes. Well, last night was not a good outing for the rookie. He actually threw 88 pitches and 3+. That's a lot. And only 42 were strikes. And again, that's 46 balls. And also, remember, I love this, and they have strikes and balls. If you foul a pitch off, obviously it's considered a strike. Even if it could be way out of the strike zone. Talk about a deceiving stat. How many strikes you actually throw? Because, again, guys are swinging at bad pitches. They foul them off or whatever. But he couldn't find the plate last night. He walked 5 guys, gave up 7 earned, and cranked that ERA up to 6.92.
Oh, just a bad night.
I'm more upset about the Schimpf situation, man. We have no explanation on where Ryan Schimpf has been the last couple of days. Now, granted, he struck out six of his last seven at bats.
It happens.
So what? He's top 10 still in the league in home runs.
Exactly. He makes up for it.
So Padres will have the second of the three-game set against the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight.
Number one.
Come on, Rock.
Let the comeback begin.
Is this the Rocky, is Eye of the Tiger, where he and Apollo Creed are jump around in the surf together in their short shorts?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah!
You know the irony of this song right here as I was preparing for this show?
What is that?
I went to YouTube to look the song up.
Yeah.
And a two-second pop-up video from to promote tonight's NBA
really?
Game.
Really?
Yeah, so that's...
Whoa. I hope you had LifeLock on your computer, Ernie, because that may have been an identity theft scammer.
That is unbelievable.
I can sleep tonight knowing that.
There's a lot of little side stories going into Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. Remember, this is where we were a year ago. Blowout wins for the Warriors at home. Cleveland has no chance. Game 3, they went from a 33-point loss to a 30-point win. So a 63-point swing a year ago from Games 2 to 3. But now some people are talking about how the Warriors' dominance is going to cost them dearly. How about this? Let's say they sweep the next two games and complete the four-game sweep, thus becoming the first team ever to go undefeated in the postseason. Game 5, if there's a Game 5 in Golden State, they will net $12.1 million, the Warriors, just for that game alone, which in itself pays Steph Curry's entire salary for the year. And if they were to get a Game 5 and a Game 7 at home, $22 million. There is huge money in hosting these playoff games, especially when you get to the NBA Finals. Could it be that ownership is like, you know what, we've got this thing in the bag? Yeah, well, you remember last year? Don't worry. Just ease up. Give them one game at home, huh? You know what you say. By the way, speaking of sweeping the playoffs, both Magic Johnson and Julius Erving are saying that their best teams, Lakers of the 80s, that 83-76er team, by the way, only lost the one game when they had Moses Malone. Both Julius Erving and Magic Johnson said their teams would walk the floor with this current Golden State team.
You know, my eighth grade team at Blessed Sacrament could beat them. Okay, there. I've thrown my hat in the ring. There's no way really to compare. You can compare and contrast, but hey, guys, you were great. You were awesome. You were two of the best ever. But to say, yeah, my team could have beat him, well, what are you basing that on?
Well, what they're both basing it on is dominant big men. I mean, in the mid-80s, when Kareem was still at the height of his game, you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And obviously that Sixer team had Moses Malone, who was the league's MVP. But they don't. That was an inside-out game. It's an outside-in game. It would be really interesting, though, seriously, if somehow you could go transport in time.
Oh, my Lord.
And let's say you take the 85 Lakers. Kareem still at the top of his game with Magic, Worthy, Byron, that group right there, and you transplant them into 2017, and you put them on the court against the Golden State Warriors. Now, there was a three-point line in 85. Sure. It's just that not a lot of teams used it. So, but I'm sure that in the beginning, you're like, let's get the ball into Kareem, play that half-court set, Magic doing all his kind of stuff. But then they're seeing Golden State just firing off these threes, and they're going in.
Well, that's it. And then who's going to... Right. And
what Lakers going to be guarding Kevin Durant?
Exactly.
Worthy?
No.
But then Worthy would drive... One thing about Worthy, best closer around. That's why he was so tailor-made for a guy like Magic Johnson. Again, for Golden State, Klay Thompson going to match up against...
James Worthy?
Magic Johnson?
Oh, no. No.
Well, who's going to be... You're not going to put Steph Curry on Magic Johnson.
I just think in terms of... Okay, can you make the argument that as far as the athletes that today's NBA players are...
I don't agree with that at all. First of all, in those days, they played more minutes. Watch the athletes of the NBA in the 80s. It's not like the NBA where, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. Mm-hmm. The players are essentially the same size. mean, you can't look at Steph Curry and just take a picture of him saying, wow, look at that specimen.
Well, no, Steph Curry completely blows the curve for a lot of this argument, obviously.
I mean, I can imagine. Can you imagine Draymond Green against Kurt Rambis?
Oh,
man. See, well, Rambis would take no. He would do the clotheslines and all that kind of stuff. And Green's like, you thought I was a dirty guy. Wow. We'll never know, right? But, yeah, the old-timers are lining up these days saying, yeah,
why?
Our teams would dominate.
Where is it coming from, though? You guys...
Because they believe it was a better brand of basketball back then.
Oh,
you have to watch.
Know.
You know, when is the last time you actually watched any highlights from an NBA Finals game of the 80s between Bird and Magic?
It's been... Oh, well, Bird and Magic... I haven't watched them in a while.
They show
but
them
I can,
all the time.
I know what they are in the back of my head.
You think you know, but if you actually watch it in context of today. Yes, Brent?
It's coming from everyone telling them how, you guys don't hold a candle to them because they're the greatest team, you know, since the peach basket was invented. No one will ever be better than the Warriors. You don't have a chance. Kevin Durant, blah, blah, blah. So if you were on that team and you had to listen to this crap every day for the 2 weeks that the finals lasted,
but
of course
is there,
open
is there
their
any
mouths.
Way to have the conversation or to be involved in the conversation without the quote unquote older guys not coming across as just sour grapes?
Yeah, no, but we also let's go the other angle on this. The idea that, you know, anybody that says it was better back then is just completely out of touch. Completely
right, exactly.
Out of touch. That's not a fair argument either. You know, anytime you're making comparisons of eras, first of all, it's fruitless because, again, it's a very different NBA game now, the way they play the game now than they did back in the day. You know, and there was a far more physical game back then because the NBA allowed it to be a much more physical game.
Now you can't breathe on guys.
Well, I mean, when you go back to the clothesline that McHale did on Rambis, nowadays he would have been gone. He would have been suspended for the rest of the playoffs. Yeah. He didn't even get suspended for a game.
No,
he wasn't even thrown out of that game. Nothing happened to him.
No, it was a different mentality. It was also a different way of playing basketball. No, I think there's a lot more artistry involved now.
Well, this is what, like, Willard is one of these guys. I get on Mark all the time because in his book, yesterdays are erased immediately.
No.
Anything that happened yesterday has no relevance to today.
There are certain gold standards that will never be moved. There's no way you can have a conversation about a superstar today or a superstar team in the NBA without ever having Michael Jordan's name mentioned in the conversation when you start to play the comparison game. So there's always going to be those teams or that guy who people will continually say, well, how does he stack up against X?
If you watch these two teams that have been playing three straight years in the NBA Finals, and you were to watch in its entirety a Lakers-Celtics game, finals game from the 80s, 84, 85, 87, they played off. You will see the giant differences in the games. Okay, first of all, big men had a place in the game back in those days. Secondly, they would shoot threes, but at a minimum of if you had a great 3-point shooter like a Larry Bird. You know, for the Lakers, they had Byron Scott, but he didn't shoot a ton of threes. Michael Cooper, who was their defensive specialist, actually perfected almost a set shot three back in the day. But the one thing they did was they used the entire court. They were inside, outside. They ran the ball a lot. This wasn't the slow down game that we saw in the...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
90s. But when you watch the NBA nowadays, everyone is standing at the three-point line, which is why when a guy drives to the hoop, there's no one in front of him. You saw Durant in that first game, uncontested dunks. There's nobody there.
No, obviously it has taken its toll on the defense.
So, look, it's you know, do you like this game better? You don't like this game better? All I know about the future of the NBA is this. If the Warriors end up sweeping this series, this league has had a tough enough time trying to promote a two-team league. How are you going to promote a one-team league?
Switching gears a little bit, the Sucker City Carpetbaggers tried to scare people into thinking Aztec football had no place to go after 2019, but not so fast. Going to tell you why after this.
Hey, Orenberger here. Mark and Rich show coming up at noon tomorrow. Did LeBron James do it? Did he battle back in Game 3 and finally get a win in the finals? We'll talk about it on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Cannons moving along on this, what is it, Wednesday?
Oh!
To coin a phrase.
I'm not the only one forgetting about the hump day.
No, we were just having a very pointed conversation with
tomorrow,
our executive producer, Kyle Lingehart.
We're
going to
be out at the Saquon Golf Course tomorrow.
That's right. Yes. LT's big charity event.
Yes.
Mark and Rich will be broadcasting out there from noon to 3. Loose Cannons from 3 to 6 at a beautiful Saquon. Still one of my all-time favorite tracks in San Diego to golf on.
I've never been there.
Oh,
I mean, I've been to Saquon, but I've never been to the golf course.
For a lot of older people in San Diego, they still call it Singing Hills. That's what it was for the longest time.
But I've never been to Singing Hills either.
Saquon got involved, and they have dumped a ton of money into the resort.
If you're out there tomorrow,
awesome.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you out there.
Very cool.
It's going to be a nice day for sure. And then don't forget, Friday, we're going to be broadcasting Park in the Park as we welcome the Padres back.
You bet.
After what we hope will be a much better couple of days in Arizona. They'll return on Friday to host the Kansas City Royals in a weekend series. And then don't forget next Tuesday. That's when Casa will try to break the curse.
I hope.
When he goes to the game.
Oh.
As the Padres host the Cincinnati Reds.
Already getting nervous, Steve. Already getting nervous.
That is going to be a lot of pressure right there. All right. Now, one of the things we were talking about, Costa, is the fact that what are the options for San Diego State? Let's say they can't figure out a deal with FS Investors.
Correct.
And then FS Investor goes away. And eventually they're going to tear down Qualcomm. Where exactly is San Diego State going to play? So we were told that they could play 1 year.
Yes.
And 1 year only in 2019 at APECO.
Correct.
As sort of a courtesy from Ron Fowler, who has donated millions and millions and millions of
dollars. Massive supporter of
State. To the Aztecs over the years. But you say we have an update on that right now?
We have. And Ron Fowler has kind of cleared the air about it. There's a chance that after the 2019 season, Ron Fowler citing it would be okay for the Aztecs to use Petco for football after the baseball season and all home playoff games were completed. Now, obviously, if they make a deep run into the playoffs, and I'm talking about the Padres.
Yes, that would push them late into October.
Late into October, and it's almost a moot point. But there's a chance that if the Aztecs do not have a place to play in 2020, and, you know, this is...
Okay, well,
think about
where
this.
Are they playing before then? In other words, what they're
going to play, they'll play in Petco 2019. That's
Petco,
a given.
We don't know that Petco is going to be standing in 2019.
Petco, Steve. Qualcomm.
My point is, in 2019, if Qualcomm is brought down at the end of 2018,
the Aztecs will play in Petco in 2019. That's the one year Fowler has given.
Okay,
them.
And let's say they go 2020 and there's still no place to play. Then where do they play?
Ron Fowler is saying there's a chance they could still play in Petco.
But after the season ends, are they going to play in the parking lot somewhere in September?
Well, as I just said, if the Padres go deep into the playoffs,
my point is, but what they're saying is starting in 2020, they can play a Petco once the baseball season is over, whether it's October 1st or late October.
And it's going to
where are they playing the games in September if there's no Qualcomm Stadium?
They will front load the schedule with road games for the Aztecs, so that
six,
five or six.
Okay, now, whoa. Okay, let's. I'm going to give you a schedule in college football, right? So you play four games minimum in the month of September,
for sure.
That's every year. You have four games, maybe five, depending on the calendar, in the month of September. That's almost half your schedule. It's a 12-game schedule, not counting a conference championship game. So you're going to start the season because, again, you don't know. I mean, let's say you get to October and the Padres are all the way in the World Series.
Which we hope they're going to be doing based on this rebuilding project.
You've already played six home road games in a row to open up your season. But then you run out of road games. You have a scheduled home game on October 15th in San Diego. And their Petco's like, well, I'm sorry, we have the World Series going on. Where would they play?
You would either up the road, and I'm being completely serious. Exactly.
Where would they play
the
game?
You would either look up the road, possibly at StubHub. You would look at maybe
StubHub.
I'm trying to tell you where you might look.
Wow. Or how much are you going to punish San Diego people by going to StubHub? Oh, that's right. StubHub would be vacant at that point, 2020, by that time, unless Kroenke continues to delay the opening of that stadium. Way.
But the gist of the story is Ron Fowler, you know, Soccer City has tried to say, oh, Aztecs are not going to have a home after you know, Qualcomm comes down. They're going to be wandering in the desert. There's going to be no place for them to play, this fear-mongering that they're trying to bring to the surface. Fowler's come out and said, well, wait, there's going to have to be a lot of logistical juggling, obviously, but it still can be done. If you completely backload San Diego State's schedule.
Does Ron Fowler have all say on Petco?
Oh, boy, that's Steve.
Isn't there a transfer of power going on with the Padres where Fowler was sort of in the beginning, but it really goes to the Seidler family? Aren't they the money people? Because I know that I've talked to at least one of the Seidler brothers that in no way likes the idea of an extended stay for the Aztecs at Petco.
As an Aztec alum and somebody who loves Aztec football, I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. They built Petco so they would have to, so they could avoid exactly this, having to play baseball on a football field, or the Aztecs having to play football on a baseball field. So when he says that, I get where he's coming from, and I don't fault him whatsoever. But Ron Fowler is saying this is a way to help the Aztecs, but not have to cross over into that, having to flip the stadium over from baseball to football in a matter of hours.
It's a nice gesture. Hopefully we don't get to that and we can actually have a legitimate home for the Aztecs, because this could be a nightmare, because you can create a schedule, and I'm sure the NCAA, the conference, will work with them to set a schedule based on regular season games. But you have no idea how long a postseason's going to go.
No.
You can't have a tentative game saying, well, if they're not playing any longer, you'll play at home. That's not the way it works.
And here's something else.
You're not going to forfeit a bunch of home games and play all your games on the road to flex out a schedule. That doesn't make any sense.
The NCAA could also help them. They're thinking, you know, they're considering adding that second bye week. And you could also ask the NCAA to put your, if you're going to have to.
But it doesn't answer the question. If you finally say on October 15th, you know, the Padres will be gone and we've scheduled a home game at Petco on that day, and all of a sudden the Padres are still playing. Now you have to figure out at the last second, where are you going to play the game?
No, because you know ahead of time. I think there's
not a series to series, you don't know.
Not series to series, but there's probably a drop dead date for the Padres where they say, listen, if we're in action
up to
this point,
Aztecs,
you then have to talk to that team that's scheduled to play here.
Yeah, because
about
they have
flipping
to make,
it. Yeah.
They have to make different travel arrangements.
100%, Steve.
That's,
I know
a
what
nightmare
you're saying.
For a football team.
It is a nightmare for a football team, but it's not just, oh my God, the Padres won this game. Aztecs, sorry, your game's canceled at Petco. They'll know well enough ahead of time if they have to make alternate plans. And listen, you're right.
So you're saying that
it's a spider web.
But they would have to schedule every single year the first 5 weeks on the road. Well, I guess not, because it depends if the Padres are in and out of town in September.
Right. And Steve, again.
No. He's saying no way are you playing on this field at all until our season's over.
In 2020. Yes.
So that means the month of September 2020 moving forward, assuming that San Diego State never gets an actual permanent home, they will have to open the season every single year with five straight road games. How would you like that if you're Rocky Long?
You obviously you don't like it. But that's,
I mean,
that's,
are you serious?
Steve, that really
so
is.
So we are going to have to open the year on the road for the first 5 weeks every single year.
Worst case scenario, yes, if you want to see the Aztecs play football.
And then, by the way, let's say you lose four of those five games. Now you crawl home 1-4. I'm sure the fans are excited about that.
You obviously crater the back end of your schedule at home. But see, it also brings to light why something needs to get done.
Well, if they can't get that stupid signal fix that I was going through today, they're certainly not going to figure out something this complicated.
I promise you, I will reach out. I will reach out to the city planners, and when the new stadium is built, I will have them put in small print.
Yeah,
also fix the Steve Hartman light.
I mean, you have these two lights that are two car lengths apart, and one of them's red and one of them's green. And then they go green and red. What are you doing? Okay, all right, well, that sounds like a lame plan to me. I mean, I like the sentiment of it, but wow, that would be an absolute nightmare for Aztec football. Let's get them a stadium. All right, we mentioned earlier during the 4-4, it was a huge day today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Lakers, as they finally got a chance to work out Lonzo Ball. Alan Sliwa, he is the guy that hosts the Lakers show on ESPN in L.A. He will join the Cannons coming up next.
Coming up tomorrow morning on Hardwick and Richards, if the Cavs are facing a clean sweep, does it set back the legacy of LeBron James? Also, San Diego County Fair tickets. What up? We've got them. We get started 6 a.m. on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Cannons on this Wednesday. A reminder again, tomorrow we're going to be out at Sequan Golf Resort out there, LT's tournament.
Yeah.
Both Marco Rich and the Loose Cannons will be out there doing our show. So I understand it was a circus today, understandably, as the Lakers held a workout for Lonzo Ball. Now, we could only read about it. This man lived it.
He lives everything big in L.A. I'm very jealous.
Yes. So he, of course, is the host of Laker Talk. Alan Sliwa is joining us right now. Alan, how you doing today?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
We are well. All right, Alan. I've been around a lot of Lakers stuff over the years.
Yeah.
Paint the picture, Alan. Just this before we get into the context of Lonzo had to say, what was it like? I mean, compare it. Is it like draft day? Try to compare it. Is it media day to open up the season? How could you compare the media crowd today?
Well, basically, it was as if the Lakers are taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight.
wow.
That's the type of media that showed up. It was crazy. Like, in all honesty, I mean, I wasn't there during, you know, the Shaq and Kobe days. And I know, obviously, when Lakers were winning championships, it's always a zoo. But here's a team that won 26 games total, have a number two pick, and you would have thought that the Lakers were literally in the NBA Finals. That's the amount of media that was there. And that's the one thing that I took away from it. Yeah, you know, Lonzo Ball is going to answer some questions. Yeah, there's going to be some questions about his dad. But walking into this thing where I couldn't even see Lonzo Ball for most of the interview. Granted, I'm about 5'8", 5'8 and a half. That has something to do with it. But it was because you have all these reporters and cameramen. And it was a scene that I haven't seen in my about 2 years covering the team. Granted, in those 2 years, you know, of course, Kobe Bryant, that's a whole different story, but this kid has not played one NBA basketball game, and it was a circus. And if that's what's to come, if the Lakers draft him at number two, let's just say we won't be short with any stories around the Lakers for a few years.
Alan, did the Lakers, whatever brass that were there from the Lakers, did they let on how the workout went with Lonzo?
So Lonzo was the only one that that was interviewed. So
okay.
Lonzo didn't say anything about, you know, really, he just said it was really positive vibe. The guys were great. I was tired after the workout. A lot of general questions or a lot of general answers to the questions. But there was no interview with Coach Luke Walton or Magic or Palenka or any of those guys. So nobody would really lead on to anything. And I don't think that's too uncommon, but For the most part, you know, Lonzo had dinner with the front office and Coach Luke Walton yesterday, and then today was obviously his workout.
I was going to say there were some interesting quotes that I saw, Alan. One of them was talking about, you know, his role with the team, and he said this team needs a leader. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a nice shot. I mean, let's see. They used a number two pick overall in D'Angelo Russell, who is supposedly going to be the leader. He has an air of confidence that borders on cockiness, and he's not like his father, but he'll never say a disparaging word about his own game. Should that be a worry of some?
Well, you know what's funny? He didn't say just they need a leader. He said they need a leader and a point guard. So he put those two together, which would, you know, technically be describing two guys on the Lakers roster right now, whether Clarkson plays one or D'Angelo Russell. You know, I would say this. Yes, he is, you know, obviously has that cockiness to him, confident. The one thing I like the most is there aren't too many kids coming out of the draft, especially, you know, top five player, top seven, top 10, who probably their best asset is passing the ball. So that's one thing that I like, because if you're cocky or if you're somebody that, you know, is extremely confident in your game and it's just all about you getting shots, that's one thing. But I think he actually has something very unique that you don't usually see in younger players or players that are just coming into the league. I think he truly feels like his best asset is getting other players the ball and, you know, obviously trying to create for others. So I don't know if I'd be too worried about that, because his game doesn't represent that.
Is there any talk, Alan, up there in Lakers circles that Danny Ainge could just pull the ultimate FU to the Lakers and take him number one and then say, okay, what do you want to give up for him?
I if that were to happen, there hasn't been that much talk about that. I think everybody's just assuming, you know, last year Ben Simmons went one, Brandon Ingram went two, and there was, you know, some chirping, hey, you know, is there any way Ben Simmons falls to the Lakers at the number two spot? But I think Lakers are in a spot where they're going to be reactive, obviously predicated on what the Boston Celtics do. I think the Celtics are going to pick Markelle Fultz, and I think they're going to do in what's the best interest of their, you know, obviously their organization. I mean, Lonzo Ball not working out for them. Markelle Fultz was in there. I think yesterday he worked out for the Boston Celtics. Unless something crazy happens, yes, it is obviously positioning and jockeying, but I don't see a scenario playing out where Lonzo Ball doesn't end up with the Lakers.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Alan, because we've been hearing all these reports that Lakers don't think he's that kind of a player. And they talk about De'Aaron Fox. They talk about Josh Jackson out of Kansas. I mean, can you imagine the scene if Adam Silver is up there with the second pick in the 2017 draft? The Los Angeles Lakers select Josh Jackson, and then they zoom in on LeVar Ball's face. First of all, he would charge the stage. You know that. Speaking of LeVar Ball, the idea that they should not be concerned about him, are they delusionary? Do they honestly think LeVar Ball's going to go away once his son enters the NBA? I mean, in reality, whatever is going to happen at that point is only going to be amplified as he tries to get the big baller brand to the level that he wants it at. I mean, are the Lakers fully prepared for that?
It's kind of funny because you have no idea really, okay, well, it's been kind of quiet now for a week and a half, 2 weeks. The attention is obviously starting to shift more towards Lonzo, which is where the attention should be, because Lonzo Ball is going to be playing in these games. I don't think they're delusional about it. I think these last couple of days were probably an opportunity, you know, yesterday to obviously have dinner with Lonzo Ball. I think if they believe Lonzo Ball is the best player at the number two slot, that they're going to have to select the best player. And if his dad, let's say, in some shape, way, or form becomes a distraction, I'll tell you one thing Lonzo Ball said today. He said somebody asked him kind of in the sense of how he mimics his game. And, you know, he said Magic Johnson because his dad loved Magic Johnson, loved Magic Johnson's style of basketball. So his dad almost in a sense tried to raise Lonzo Ball to play that style of basketball. I could be just, you know, this me just being positive or looking at the glass half full. maybe LaVar Ball has such a respect for Magic Johnson and has respect for the Los Angeles Lakers that when, you know, when it obviously comes down to business and Lonzo Ball is in the NBA and if he's potentially playing for the Lakers, maybe it will be a little quieter. But even me has a tough time to believing that because they would give you no examples that that's what he's going to do.
Alan, final one for me. Are the Chargers prepared to drop completely off the map of relevance with the Dodgers playing the way they are, Sam Darnold playing the NFL, and now Lonzo Ball going to quickly become an L.A. Laker?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, when certain teams leave a city and come to another city, it's like the biggest topic in the world for the city that just got that team. And me being from San Diego and living in Los Angeles, it was literally like a back page. And by the way, the Chargers are in Los Angeles, and most Los Angeles fans were wondering like why the Chargers are coming to Los Angeles, because we know, look, not just the Rams, but there's obviously a huge base of Raider fans, and then a lot of transplants that come from all over the place. It's the Chargers will have a, in my opinion, a very, very, very difficult time trying to gain some traction in that Los Angeles market, because you're not only, you know, you're not only dealing with the Lakers and the Rams, UCLA, USC, obviously the baseball teams. There's a lot of action in LA, and unless you're the Lakers or Dodgers, or you're very, very good, it's tough to grab a page in that sports section.
Well, bottom line is right now the Chargers are behind the Sparks in L.A., Alan. So they got a long climb to the top. Alan, great stuff, man. We appreciate it as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good day.
Thanks,
right, Alan Slee. We're there. Of course, he does Laker Talk 710 up there in L.A. I'm telling this LaVar Ball stuff. Once we get to the draft, that's the day. Whatever happens to Lonzo Ball in the draft, LaVar Ball is going to take over that NBA draft. He's going to push Adam Silver aside and say, this is my show now. This is my show. Stay in your lane, Adam. All right. Yes.
Cannon shot of the day.
You want to have a qualifier? Oh, that's right. I forgot about
Let's get to
Oh, boy. So excited.
You're having a bad day.
I've had a bad day. Your bad day is rolling up on my bad day. And this all goes back to Ernie. Really goes back to that signal I had to suffer through to early.
All right.
Time to qualify someone for the Cannon Shot today. Drum roll, please. This out. Cannon Shot came from.
It's a text, and it says, the Hindenburg and Mayor Faulkner both have something in common. They were full of gas and eventually went down in flames. All right. As we look at the air leaving the ball in Soccer City, where does San Diego State now sit? Are they in the catbird seat? We'll discuss coming up next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.